Good evening, everybody out there. How are you guys this evening? Hey, everybody made it. We're still here. Nothing happened. Except for the crazed activity. People are truly, honestly, they had their experience. Today, they were really touched by this event. Can you imagine that? You were really touched. And it is so odd. Well, you guys know I can't be quiet about it, right? I do observe. I do. Not the eclipse, but people. Based on, there's a wonderful aspect to this that, since it's, you know, over with, I will speak about, since the end did not come, I will speak about it. But people were genuinely taken by this. They really were. They knew it was coming. They knew what to expect. They knew the exact moment it would happen. Right? So they had all the technical details about it. And they went absolutely bonkers. People were crying. Crying. People were shedding tears. Right? And the response was, when the darkness came, they were crying over the darkness. It's like they were so happy for the darkness. And it was, I believe, personally, there is a disconnect. They're disassociated with the Creator. They're doing exactly what the Word of God says they would do. That they would worship the creation more than the Creator. Right? They're back to doing that again. And in fact, worship of the creation is in their hearts. And they were really touched by this celestial phenomena. And they missed the whole point of it. At not one point did some of the major people, right? At no point did they ever acknowledge the Creator. I heard the emotional responses of some, right? And they likened it. They said they got emotional because it reminded them that everybody is all one. That's what they said. Folks, but they did not mention the Creator. They didn't do it. No mention of the Creator. And in the Word of God, it says that they would worship the creation more than the Creator, and they would return to that. They're back to that again. Now, one of the amazing parts is, that happened a long time ago, when people worshiped the creation more than the Creator. It was foretold that it would happen again in the days that we live in now. Right? That was foretold. It's happening again all over the earth. Right? People do worship the creation, not the one who created the moon. Nobody got emotional out there who was displaying their, you know, celebration of this event. They didn't speak openly about He who created the moon. Even Christians, right? Even the Christians, certain Christians, gave no acknowledgement of God the Father, that the moon, the earth, and this event is by His hand. They didn't. So it's almost like a lot of folks are. They're back to doing exactly what the Word of God said they would do. Now, this brings up something very interesting. Something I can bring up now that the eclipse is over. I was not impressed by, like other people are. The event was significant. And it is significant. But not in the ways patterned after the world or after common thinking of most. No. No, this event was different. Very different. I'm going to explain to you guys why it was so different so that you can see with a brand new set of eyes something that, well, I tend to look at all the time. Once you see it with different eyes, guaranteed to change your perspective just a bit, right? Just a bit. Also, when it got up to Maine, right, some things began to slip on, you know, with some of the broadcasters. Some of you guys were watching out for some of the broadcasters. And, well, some things started to slip. Of course, when they're at totality on national television, they started to see things. One of the guys, after pointing something out, totally went back to another subject quickly. Because he was asking his producer, he was asking the people, he said, what is that? This is what he said. This is on national TV, so it's right there for anybody to go back and to record. So that was something. And then when he got back to this gentleman, he said, wait a minute, I see more. And somebody in the back said, they gave the color of them. He said, yes, they're that color. He said, what is that? That's what he kept saying, right? Also, when it was in, when it was near Ohio, same thing happened again, right? So, yeah, it was a very interesting day. But I'm going to give you guys a perspective when I come back. I want you to see something for the first time. Get yourselves prepared. The storms are coming. So are the bugs. Water's coming. Oops, I'll be back in just a few minutes right here at COT. I'm going to get everything else set up. I'm going to come back. We're going to discuss another viewpoint of God's creation. I'll be right back in just a few minutes right here at COT. I don't want you guys to get alarmed, okay? But I'm old, right? Older. And that means I can get tired. And today is one of those days. All right, just so you know that. Don't get alarmed. If crickets, you know, start making that noise. Or, you know, something like that happens. Anyway, for a conversation, a few things we're going to cover. Guys, I want to thank you for being here tonight. All right? I know tonight's conversation could be a bit different. Just give me some latitude, if you would, please. That'd be okay. Okay. Everybody. The first thing we're going to address, right, as part as being a believer, right, there are lots of believers out there, lots of believers, right? I love the believers in Christ, I do. So we have to address something, because I know that some of you are probably not happy. I know you're not happy because you heard or listen to some people make some declarations, right? And it didn't exactly come to pass, okay? So we have to address something called a false prophet. Can we do that? Can we do that? Okay. Without, don't dredge up memories or any of those things, right? So let me explain something to you guys. What do you guys think prophecy is in the first place? What do you think that is? Prophecy. And why in the Bible does it say that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? Why? Let me make it short for you. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, right? Which means prophecy is what thus saith the Lord, okay? That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is what God is telling us. It's what God says he's going to do. That's what prophecy is. Okay, so we have to make this distinction. Prophecy is not what I think. Prophecy is what the Lord says he's going to do. That's a big difference. So, for example, during this eclipse, I know that you guys heard, and I'm not sanctioning any of it either. I'm just telling you something here. If, let me give you this example first, real quick. I like snow, right? I do. I like snow. So, in the wintertime, when they say it's going to snow, you know, 10 inches, right? I say, oh boy, I get happy because I like snow. I want it to snow 10 inches. So if somebody ever comes to me and they say, well, what's the weather going to do? Well, hopefully it snows 10 inches. I hope we get 20 inches, right? Why am I saying that like that? Because of my feelings, right? Because I'm partial to snow. And so when somebody asks me something, I'm going to be excited about the snow, okay? I'm going to speak in accordance with that excitement. A lot of people do that. They think certain things, right? They have emotional answers. That's a person's viewpoint. Anybody can give their viewpoint, right? Anybody can. Anybody can. Okay? So take note of that, right? Anybody can. But when a person says, well, God is going to do so-and-so, right? That's totally different. People ought to be preserved in that, right? That's prophecy. And it is a false prophecy when somebody says, God is going to do something, or God has declared something, and he has not, right? So make that distinction between the two, because you're gonna hear it. You're going to hear the excitement of Christians who feel, certain, a lot of you guys, right? A lot of you guys, you want the Lord to come back and rapture everybody right now. You do. And so, guess what? You're going to be partial to anything dealing with a rapture. You're going to be biased towards that. All right, that's fine. That's fine. The line that you draw between yourself and declarations of what God said, right? It's just that. Don't declare anything out there. God did not expressly give you. Don't declare it. Because that is false prophecy. When you say God said something, okay, now you're speaking for the throne of God. Okay? So that's a problem. This eclipse, lots of people had many ideas. They thought things would happen. You know, some people, they went a bit too far. But as far as a Christian community, a lot of people get excited. They really do believe that moments like this could mark some pretty big happenings. It's not that they said God was going to do it. They said something like that could happen, right? So you got to make that distinction. Never give the adversary ammunition to have you start to hate your fellow man because something did not happen that you desire to happen and they spoke it. Don't do that. Make a distinction. Have an understanding that what prophecy is what God says he's going to do. And if somebody speaks that way, right, well, then that deserves a bit of intervention. But when somebody is expressing their ideas, when they think something could take place, or they're given a statement, an emotional statement of what they suspect will happen at some point, make that distinction. Don't be so equipped and ready to point at somebody and say you're guilty because you said you thought this would happen and it didn't take place. You're a false prophet. No, a false prophet is somebody who declares, who speaks something, and they say God said it. Always take note of those things. See, because you can really help people out. You really can. When somebody does that, obviously they're excited. How many of you were ever excited? You got ahead of yourself and you thought that the Lord would do something. You were totally convinced and you actually believed it, but it never took place. That happens, right? That really does happen. It's not you being a false prophet. That's you being hopeful. And something you may not have a full understanding of, so make that distinction between the two. So that you're not walking around becoming those who tear down other Christians, okay? Make that distinction. Always take a mental note. Take a mental note of things, but please make that distinction, all right? Now, if I were to say something, if I were to say, well, God said he's going to do so-and-so on this date, and that thing doesn't happen, every single last one of you better write me and say, Mike, you've lost it. You got to come back and you got to talk about that when you totally messed that one up. Give me a strong rebuke and everything else. But when a person has an idea, they have an idea. You don't accept that as authoritative. Don't do that. Never do that. It's not authoritative. If somebody has an idea and they think something is going to happen, well, that's what they think. You got to be careful not to get caught up in what people think. Make that distinction between the two. You know, I looked at the world today, and these guys were just crying at the moon. And the sun, are you kidding? It was a shadow, and they were crying. They were emotional. And they gave no honor to the Most High. Now, we don't know what they were feeling inside, but people were highly emotional over something so silly. To a Christian, it marks, right? It is significant because it's significant to me for different reasons than for most. This solar eclipse, I'm going to tell you why it was significant to me. Because I already shared with you guys, people were asking me, well, do you think anything is going to happen? I said, no, the Lord gave me nothing about this eclipse. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Right? He gave me nothing. And I trust what the Lord gives me. He gave me nothing. Some people got angry at me because I said the Lord gave me nothing, but he didn't. He didn't give me anything. Right? Some people are trying to put a safety cushion around themselves, saying that, well, it's, you know, it's not the eclipse, it's what's going to happen after. Because listen, people, let's go ahead and face it, people in this day and age, because of YouTube and social media, they're trying to be relevant at all costs. Relevancy is their income, all right? That's what relevancy is for them. And it's very competitive. Thank you, Lord, I'm not in that game. But that's how they make their living, right? That's just how that is. They have to remain relevant. All right? So anyway, make those distinctions, but let me tell you why it was so significant to me, but not like it was to everybody else. A long time ago, God created everything. God created the sun and the moon and stars and everything, right? He already did that. And over time, kingdoms rose and fell. They did. They rose and fell. And then, of course, we get to the time when the USA is being established. Something moved people to build these cities in certain places. Something moved them to name these cities what they named them. Something moved them to do that. Right? We know what that something is, but it moved them to do that. Then all of a sudden in 2024, the shadow of the moon crosses these places people were moved to build. Now see, I find that utterly astounding. I do. I find that astounding. Not because of the names of the coincidences that people think are coincidences, right? Not because of that. Because sometimes people act like God just now made the moon, right? And had the moon cast a shadow over these specific cities. That's not what he did. He had men build cities where the moon was going to cross from the beginning. That's astounding. See, that's astounding. What always gets me about prophecy is not the actual event. I never get excited about the event. Call me a killjoy in that area, but I never get excited about the event. Right? Never. Just like Jesus on the water. I noticed that when I was younger. That one time I heard a person, they were giving that sermon about Jesus walking on the water. And everybody was excited, right? I never got excited about that. I got excited that the storm happened at the same time that the boat was on the water. And Jesus was on the water with the storm. I didn't even pay attention to him walking on the water because that was somewhat normal. I expected Christ to do above and beyond what mankind likes to place his limitations on. But it was the growth of those young disciples to put them in a mental position of vulnerability during a storm that they would actually start to pay attention to any help or to anything they would see. I found the timing of how God raises people. I always find that astounding. You see, in prophecy, men and women end up being exactly how God describes them. Do you know what has to happen to get a person to be in a mental position over the course of time like that? Do you understand that in order for the Bible to continue to be correct, like when it says men worship the creation more than the Creator, do you understand what has to happen to the people at the very beginning when they live on the earth? God is working with them, being mindful of you. What about the cities being built in the path of this eclipse? What about the one city in the crosshairs of the eclipse? And I'm telling you, it's not good. What's in the crosshairs of the eclipse? Now, you guys live your own life, but I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord ever put an X, X marks a spot, two of them, 2017 and 2023 and 2024, we have an eclipse, and it marked two specific places of significance. Of all the places, it marked two specific places. Do you really think that I would have knowledge of that and operate with impunity in those places? No, you better watch out. I'm just telling you now. There's no games being played here, right? None. But people always end up being as God said they would be when his prophecies are being fulfilled. That means from day one, God has been involved in everybody's life. And you understand that he touched everyone's life so that the people that would be in the time of the occupation of that prophecy, so they would be exactly as God said they would be. That is utterly astounding. Look at the days we live in now. We know the prophecy surrounding these days. We live in the times when men would no longer endure sound doctrine. Do you understand what it would take to pinpoint people at a specific time in history? You'd have to work with those people from the beginning, which means that God has been intimate with everybody's life to this very day. Intimate. That is astounding. He's been working with everybody. We just can't comprehend that. Some are given over. He's given them an opportunity. He's a loving God. He does not discount a person at birth. He didn't. He worked with him. But things are turning out exactly as the word said they would. That is amazing. That's amazing. That is amazing. Anyway, that's what astounds me. So when it comes to these eclipses, it is not the eclipse itself that was always coming, right? It is that mankind was influenced to build things in the path of this eclipse. It is the place that's being occupied at the time of that celestial phenomena. The eclipse was always coming. The shadow was always going to come over this part of the earth. God set that in motion from the beginning. But it was so intimate in people's lives that America was built in a specific position that in 2024, right, that it will go over 13 states, the same number, dealing with the inception of the entire country. That's not coincidence. That means God was intimate, very intimate, very involved in the activities of mankind to this very day. amazing. And not only for the USA, but for every single landmass on this earth. There's not a place you can go to where you will eventually discover that God has been intimately involved in everybody's life from the beginning up until this very time. There's not one place you can go to where you will not find that. You will find the Lord's fingerprints and signature everywhere. That is amazing. That's amazing. So I never get into the mood where I'm looking at the moon and I just, you know, look with awe and wonder. I don't do that. God created that. That's part of creation. The moon is no different than a squirrel. It's no different than a squirrel. What is amazing is the framework the Lord set up, his intimate involvement in humanity. Creation is on what, autopilot? It's going to be obedient. We're the only species that can freely be disobedient, right? But we know that God was intimately involved every step of the way. You know, it really affirms that you're in a managed process. Think about this real quick. In this life, one day, if we make it all the way to the end, if we don't faint, like the Bible says, right? If we endure until the end, the same shall be saved, right? So if we don't give up, one day, we're going to be part of an eternal family. Permanently, right? So that means God is raising an eternal family of whom he has given free will. So he never forces anybody to be family. He made angels that way, and some of the angels fell away. He gave them free will, they fell away. They did. Do you think the Lord will suffer what he loves the most to fall away again? No. He's going to pre-qualify his children, right? Satan fell, and then humans came. Satan fell long before humans came. So us humans, we go through this process, right? We're being exposed to good and evil every day of our lives, right? What's happening, though, when we're exposed to good and evil? At first, we don't know about the evil. We think some of the evil is good, and we get exposed to it. And then once we learn what evil is, we say, I don't want that. I do not want that. I don't associate with that. Get me away from that. I'm with the good. And then we walk away from that. And nothing is able to make us go back to that again. We're learning about darkness and light. And we're learning how to choose light by knowing the truth about both. See, it's naturally in you not to want to do evil things. That's what you probably have not gotten yet. It is not within you to naturally want to do something evil. You find yourself in the middle of evil things because often they are convenient and they lead to an evil outcome. But when you find out what it is, what do you end up doing? You say, nope, I don't want that. That's exactly what you say. Think of it this way. Do you think God wants angels that will not execute his word? Do you think God wants angels that will rebel against him again? No. But he's not forcing the angels to listen to him. The angels are choosing to listen to him. They're choosing it. And guess what? So are you. And at the end of it, you will have learned how to overcome evil. What if an angel knew nothing about darkness? Then an angel could be fooled. And every time God sent them on a mission, that mission could be abruptly halted. Redirected, right? That angel could end up doing something against the Most High, not even knowing it. Why? They could be tricked. God's angels cannot be tricked. And guess what? At the end of this process, you won't be able to be tricked either. That's what your life is. That's why Christ was agreed to be sent from the beginning for you. Because the Lord knew about all of what you would get yourselves into, but he knows this above all things. When you find out what darkness is, you keep saying the same thing. I want nothing to do with that. You start working to overcome it. He's teaching you, helping you how to overcome all darkness, not some of it, all darkness. That when you're finished with this process, right? When you actually enter into life itself, you'll be a permanent member of the family of the living God. And you will not repeat what Satan did with fallen angels did. You won't do that. Isn't that something? So in truth, what people have made a mistake, people have made a mistake when you push the word of God out of your life. Like these people who were crying about the moon today, they're not very sensitive to the word of God. And because they pushed it out of their lives, they have misdefined what life is. When you don't know what life is supposed to be, life becomes depressing. Think about that. Can you imagine a kid that does not understand what school is? They don't understand what a test is. School would be an absolute nightmare for a child. And indeed, isn't that the way it is? Until they learn what school is. If a person does not know what this life is, they'll try to make it a paradise. They're trying to turn it into something that they can live out the rest of their lives on. They don't understand this is nothing more than a set of tests. And everything is on purpose. Everything that happens is on purpose. Everything is working something in your life to raise you up to overcome all darkness. Everything. See, when you know what this life is for, you cannot be upset because you understand the purpose of all things that happen. When you find yourself in a situation, see, the reason why people get this bad taste in their mouth and they get upset is because they truly believe they shouldn't be in that situation. Because they don't know what life is for. They have forgotten that knowledge about what life is for. And when you forget that knowledge, you start redefining what life is. That's when you get upset and depressed. So if people push away the word, they have no guidance in what life is for. God put you here temporarily. This is not some permanent place. And that's the error most people run around with. That's why they want to live forever. And they don't even know what life is yet. This is not life. No. This is the test. This is when you're raised. This is when you overcome all works of darkness. At first, you're prone to it. Then you learn to see it. And you see it face to face and you know what it is. And when you know what it is, you start to learn to overcome it. Once you overcome it, nobody can make you fall prey to it again. Do you think God wants you in the kingdom, but you would fall for every dark trick out there? No. Everybody who's in the kingdom of God eventually is going to be an overcomer of all darkness, of all darkness. That means in order for you to be an overcomer of all darkness, you've got to be exposed to it. You've got to see it in truth. You've got to handle it. You've got to deal with it. You've got to be thrown headfirst into it. It's a carefully managed situation. Nothing is out of control. Our thinking is out of control because sometimes we continue to push away the Word of God. The Word of God defines what your life actually is. And it's becoming lost knowledge because people don't know what life is for. They try to make it be about something. Then they get upset because they don't know what life is for. Right? They're trying to make it a paradise. It's not some paradise. It's not some paradise. And everything in your life is carefully managed. Nothing is by coincidence or happenstance in your life. Everything is used that you may overcome darkness. God does all things in truth. So if you overcome darkness in truth, guess what? God's going to expose you to it. All of you have been exposed to darkness. All of you have. All of you have been exposed to darkness. All of you have been exposed to tricks. All of you have been exposed to confusion. All of you have been exposed to every element of creation. All of you have. And God is teaching you how to overcome all of it, because he is natural within you. Listen, I'll say it again. No matter who you think you are, no matter how bad you think you are, here's the truth. Every time you fully understand what darkness is, you say the same thing. You know what you say? I want nothing to do with that. And that's when you begin to overcome it. You don't hide from it. You don't run away from it. You overcome it. You cause it to be of no effect. Christ signifies the fact that God knew you were going to be in trouble with sin, so he sent his son to cover those areas of your life that you had to be exposed to for a season so that you could identify my way of truth, darkness. Because you keep making the same decision. You keep saying nope. When you really understand what darkness is, you say nope, I want no part of that. That's not me. That's not me. And you go right to the light. That's why I never prematurely judge. That's why. Because people will always change. God didn't make a mistake sending you here. He knows exactly what he's doing. We are the Einsteins that often do not know what he's doing. Knowledge is lost like that. Like the reason people are here on this earth. Again, they begin to define why they're here. They live these horrific lives. They don't understand the components in their life. They're in constant rejection of what's happening because they never knew it was supposed to happen. See, when you know something is supposed to happen, it changes everything. When you know you're supposed to have problems, when you know you're supposed to be exposed to these bad and awful times, when you know the reason, oh, see, everything changes. When you don't expect trouble, that's when trouble becomes real trouble. When you expect the trouble, it's expected. You say, oh, there it is. So let me act accordingly. Lord, let me apply what you taught me to get over this, to see if it works, to see how well I'm going to do with this. You do your thing. You say, well, Lord, I fell prey to it. I fell for it. I knew it was trouble and fell for it anyway. Christ is right there. Because you honestly say, forgive me. I messed that all up, Lord. I messed it up. I became part of it. You were showing me how to get over it, and I became part of it. Forgive me. And he does. And when you find out what that thing actually is, you start saying, ooh, that's destructive. It'll come right to your face, and it won't even bother you. You'll say, shoo fly, you're destructive, and you'll keep walking. That's when you've overcome that dark area. You're no longer prone to it. When you overcome it, it can come to your face 1,000 times a day, and 1,000 times a day, you're going to pluck it to the side. It is of no effect. That's what the Lord's been doing. Look in your life and see if the Lord has not been doing that very thing. You're being made immune to the lure of darkness itself. It can't get to you like it used to. Remember how pull you in? Remember how people would say things to make you sad, to make you think, to maneuver where you would go? And the same thing can be said right now, and you're just plucking to the side. You'll say, oh, heard that before. I know what that's all about. I even know why the person said it. But I'm not dealing with that right now. Right now, I'm doing something else. I have no time for that. That's when you walk around with wisdom. Because the Lord is having you overcome all things. And guess what? He's doing it. We don't know how to do it naturally. See, naturally, we want to be a part of heaven, something heavenly, naturally. Naturally, none of us wants anything to do with anything of darkness, naturally. And the Lord is teaching us. Do you guys see what's happening? It's part of the process here, right? Do you know that's forgotten knowledge? It's forgotten knowledge as to why we're here. And if you were one of those who forgot, just by hearing this, it'll lift your spirit that much more. Just by hearing this will lift your spirit and start putting things in perspective. They're not my words, by the way. This is what our Father gives us. What we operate by. Right? The ones who don't know about this are the ones who are scared to death of death itself. For the ones who know about this, death is nothing but one of the steps in the process. Huh? How many people spend all their life trying to live forever? How foolish. How foolish is that? Then they get totally misdirected like today. They see an eclipse and they get so emotional because at that moment they realize there's something out there bigger than they are. And they start crying. Oh, we just got put into darkness. And we're all here stuck in the darkness together. And then the light is shown. They cannot interpret what they just saw. So to them is some big emotional event that took place when in truth it's a simple reminder that God put things in motion. This is God's process for our lives. They don't know that. They have no context for it. They know it's a big deal. They don't know how it's a big deal. And not once did any of them mention the Creator. Not once did any of them mention the Lord. And the Lord said everything in the... Think about this. He made two great lights in the skies. One to rule the day and one to rule the night. Boy, that sounds familiar. The lesser light rules the night. Well, in the New Testament, you read something, and it says this. You're not children of the night. You don't sleep in the night, right, as sinners do. You're children of the day. That means you're not children of that lesser light that rules the night. You're children of the day. You know who that lesser light is? You know who it is. Man does not know. They get creative in movies and things, but they have no idea what they're talking about. But they're telling the story with everything they do. They're telling the true story of that lesser light and what it signifies. Isn't that funny? Even their activities that are done at night. In the Bible it says, those, right, those who were creatures of the night or children of the night, they're sinners in the world. And sure enough, all the evil, or let's just say some of the less tasteful ways that people choose to live, they live that way at nighttime. And during the day, they hide themselves. But you know what's about to happen? Huh? You've been in the night for a long time. That lesser light has been ruling this short night that's been on the earth. Guess what's happening? The sun is coming. Oh my goodness. You're children of the day. The sun is coming. When the sun comes, all the day creatures come out. You're not children of the night. That's not what you are. You're children of the day. So when the sun rises, so do you. When the sun shows up, so do you. And in the Bible, what does it say? What does it say? You will be revealed when Christ Jesus is revealed. See, the heavens are telling you something every day of your life. But listen, if you're disconnected from what creation is, you'll be emotional about something you couldn't possibly understand. That's what's happening in our world today. The same people who cried because of the phenomena of the eclipse and the feeling they got, these are the same ones that are trying their best to preserve everything in nature. All of a sudden, they see nature as being important. And they're trying to save it. They don't know why they're doing that. Those who understand what this process is, they do understand why people feel that way. But they don't have a context to what's driving them. So it is often perverted. Right? They go too far in certain areas. Everything you see in this creation is constantly ministering the same word you read in the Bible. Now, you know, somebody just didn't think that one up. Do you know how smart of a person you would have to be to perfectly join creation with a book and have that book withstand the test of time in the mindset of all men, whether they receive it or not, to live by those conditions, to have the outcome consistent and true every single time? My goodness. What a treasure we have to have such insights. And what a greater gift it is for the Lord to put confirmation within your soul, a place no other person can touch, to put that confirmation in your soul, that you would be able to recognize heavenly truth when you see it. So the issue is here, folks. Many have forgotten why. They have forgotten why they're here. They have forgotten that they have been sent here. They've been listening to the wrong narrators. You wouldn't be upset when you know the truth. See, that's what Jesus was saying. What the truth will make you free. Because when you know the truth, you're not in bondage anymore because you have understanding. That's what the Lord was saying. Let me not get excited, start drooling, yelling, and all that stuff. Can you see it? That's what the Lord was saying. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will... He said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what happens when you don't know why you're here? You're in misery. And how many of you tonight, in all honesty, your life is somewhat miserable, or it was miserable? It's okay to tell the truth here. There's not one soul in here that can judge your life. No one in this house can judge your life. No one. You know what, the truth be told, many people are not pleased with their lives. And you know what the truth is? We forgot. There's lost knowledge about why we're here. If we get that back, you think it'll make a difference? Is this conversation making a difference to some of you right now? You don't have to lie and say, yeah. If it's not, then it's not. But if it is, it is. Is it making a difference? Because if it's making a difference, the only thing that's happening here is things are being put in perspective according to the Word of God, not according to me. It truly means that when we forget God's processes, what they're for, and we start reassigning what life is for, we start living in depression because we're constantly looking for an outcome He never told us that was coming. Some of you say, well, I can never get so-and-so, because God never told you you're going to obtain a certain outcome the way you are. No, no, this is for real. This process means everything. This life that you're living here, right? Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. What was he talking about? A lot of people equate that to here on this earth. Well, God wants you to have everything in the world and everything is yours. No, no, no. The Bible, while you're living on this earth, right? What are you? When you're in the flesh, what are you? Can you be alive fully? The Word says, no, you cannot. You're liberated from this flesh. Then you enter into the realm of what? Life. Life. Abundant life. So I'll say it again. This is not your paradise. This is a giant classroom. Creation is teaching you. Just like you go in a classroom and they have learning aids on the walls, look up into the heavens. And you tell me that the heavens are not telling you the Word of God every single day. Look at the animals. Look at everything in creation. And tell me it does not echo the principles of the Most High every single day. celestials. Those are learning aids, reinforcements to the Word of God. Day and night, the same thing. Everything we endure, even a storm, is the same thing. It's a learning aid. When you know about those learning aids, when you know about the classroom, it's when you start looking at storms differently. That's when you look at all these events in the earth expectantly. That's when you're not lost in the sauce and lose your footing and get depressed and turn into Charlie Brown. You don't do that. And it's important that all of us remember what this process is for. Those people I saw today, truly lost. They have no idea what's coming for them. I almost see in my mind's eye people in the darkness not knowing what it represents. And they think they're having a good time in the darkness. They have no idea what's coming. They were talking about the temperature drops when they were in totality, how they couldn't see anything. The cameras glitched out from an abrupt blockage of radiation streams. That's going to happen one day. And it's not going to be over in 2.5 to 4 minutes. It's going to start one day and it's going to remain that way for the entirety of the earth. For some time. I can assure you no one's going to celebrate then. When temperatures drop 100 degrees. Alright. I've rambled enough. You guys have that part. Listen, I got to tell you something. Something has been happening to the animals. I didn't want to say anything prior to this eclipse because of all the stuff that's behind it. When I come back from this break, I'm going to tell you guys about it because I want you to be mindful of it. I want you to look out for it. Because some of you are going to have to call law enforcement because of it. I'll be back in a few minutes right here at the Council of Time. Alright, nobody laugh at me during this segment. Some of this is going to sound funny, but it's not funny, right? It will sound kind of funny. Some of it will sound funny. But keep in mind, we are looking into the book of Revelation. We are starting summaries in the book of Revelation before we move on to other books. And all of it is relevant to the book of Revelation. It is very relevant to the changes in creation that have already been foretold to come. It is quite serious, but yes, some of it sounds funny. First of all, I want to tell you guys something. When you have cases in law enforcement, and those cases are being investigated, due to their high strangeness, they're not disclosable to the public. Right? Some of those investigations are, records are sealed. And most often, records are somewhat tied up so that they cannot be published. Right? That goes with some of you guys who are in the old CID units. Hoorah. But for about the last, a couple months, there's been an activity in creation. It's been very, at first, it seemed to be a joke. Right? Some misrepresentation of what people saw, what they endured, you know. So the reports were taken, yet little was being done about it until the numbers grew. Today, the numbers of these happenings, climbing. Some of it's going to sound funny. It will. But it's quite serious. I'm going to start with the birds. February. Some of you may have noticed also the boldness of birds. Birds flying in the middle of streets and not moving. Right? Seems normal. Until more birds start joining in with the one bird. Now that seems normal until they make traffic start swerving. Right? Traffic on highways start swerving. Couple of accidents, couple of weird chuckles, you know, taking the reports, dodging a bird, until this one case that seemed to multiply. The birds were doing this in small numbers, seemingly forcing cars to swerve until a bird got ran over. All those birds attacked that car, left every other car alone, attacked the one car that ran over the bird. They were trying to get at the people inside the car. One person was hurt by the birds. But it happened again. But it happened again. At first they thought it was, you know, something in the area. Maybe the birds were exposed to something. Maybe they got a hold of some worms in the ground that were, ground was full of mold or some sort of exotic type of mushroom or something like that, and, you know, something happened to the birds, but it was happening in different states. And that was with the birds. That continues. So it seems like the birds are doing intentional things and have lost their fear of mankind. That's not good, right? Let's move to the raccoons. Raccoons. All of us know about raccoons and their weird nature. Weird creatures. Quite amazing, actually. They began to exude strange behavior in the month of March. First reports. Doing weird things, right? Like walking in groups. Like they're a little gang or something. Laying out in the roads. Right? Going on people's front porches and laying out in the sun. And when the owners come out, they refuse to let the owners outside of the house. The owners go to the back door of the house. The raccoons go run around the back door, refusing to let the owners outside of the house. A couple of those reports sounds real odd. Intermingled with raccoons in the wild, and are walking around in circles, getting in people's way, boldly approaching people, right? Until it continued, until the numbers grew, until it hit a point where law enforcement had to start dispatching the animals. They didn't know what it was. CDC gets a hold of the bodies. Nothing is found in the raccoons that's abnormal. No rabies. Because that would seem like they had rabies. No rabies. None. None. They too seem to express their loss of fear of humanity and a type of vengeful attitude against humanity for some reason. It still continues to this day. It's getting worse. Let's go with the bears. We all know that Kodiak bears, brown bears, grizzlies, they are dangerous. But what happens when they become somewhat passive? That's twice as spooky, right? For example, a bear is laid out beside your garbage can just sitting there. He's so quiet, you don't see him. You get in your car and drive away. You come back from work, he's still sitting right there at the garbage can, just checking everybody out. Makes no move to do anything. Doesn't flinch. Not frightened of you or anybody else. Then that same behavior is seen again, but this time, they find a moose laying in the grass with a bear up against the moose. Okay, that's, what is that? Right? What's going on here? Something is not right with that. A brown bear, a grizzly, Kodiak with a moose, that's their sworn enemies, my thought. Apparently not, not all. And both the moose and the bears having no fear of humans, not necessarily attacking them. That's normal for a moose, right? Because people get hurt by moose every single year. So at what point did the moose change their mind and just begin to intimidate by reason of their proximity to human beings? And when did bears and moose team up? Strange happenings, right? Let's move on to the squirrels. Squirrels have also been teaming up, it seems. But to my understanding, there's actual civilian video of the squirrels walking down the street in neighborhoods like the little gangsters. Okay, when did that start happening? You know, have you guys ever heard the bark of a squirrel? You guys ever hear that bark? So they bark when they're threatened and they run up a tree. They warn everybody. Squirrels do. They warn everybody. But what if those same squirrels were in a group coming down your neighborhood street and all of them were barking? That's odd behavior. It's very odd. And then you try to shoo them off. And they do not respond to you. They walk right over you, daring you to get in their way. Something is happening. All across the animal kingdom, something is happening. Now, need I remind you, animals are part of God's creation. They are intimate to creation itself, to the trees, the grass, to all the processes of the earth that sustain life here. They are very important. And it seems they're losing their fear of humanity and coordinating on a level that is just of high strangeness. No rabies involved. No toxins involved. Toxicology, all these different tests, they come back. They show nothing. No changes in the environment. Nothing. And that type of behavior, right, they suspect it will turn violent at times. With the raccoons, it did. With the birds, it did. With the squirrels, it no doubt will. With brown bears, it will. And how did bears begin to understand the language of humans? Yes, I said it. How did they come to the point where they understand the language of humans, the intent of humans? Something is happening. Creation itself is changing. That's not necessarily for mankind. That is, actually, that's horrifying. And the only way a lot of, park rangers and law enforcement and the other, the only way they know how to deal with them is not to capture them, but to destroy them. But it seems like the animals already know this. So, although it sounds funny, here's what I believe. I believe that animals have far better comprehension than we ever perceived before. I believe that us being a young species and very pious in a lot of ways, we see ourselves as being the dominant species on the earth. We communicate a specific way. We do things in a specific way. Right? And we don't really expect animals to be on our level because they don't have language like ours. So we thought. So scientists thought. They're finding out something very different now. With birds, all those chirps and movements, they're communicating. They're also teaching their young. Birds, it's a known fact that birds can teach the young things verbally. And through through motions of the body. And the young can interpret those things, just like a bee. A bee who goes out and scouts for flowers and things like that, they'll come back. When that bee comes back, they do a little dance. They, you know, hum in a certain way. But what they're doing is they're mapping out the path they took to go get the flowers. And all the rest of the bees understand what one bee is doing. And they make a mental note of that map so they can fly to this same location. Now, that scout bee has gone all over the place, covered a lot of territory until he found something. Then he comes back and communicates the location of what he found to the beehive for that little dance. That's why you see a bee come back to the hive often, and it will start just walking in circles and all over the place while what it's doing is communicating how to get to the feeding grounds. Do you guys know that? That's a bee. That's just a bee. So they do communicate. Dogs, they found, have a very complex set of thoughts, communications, interpretations, and a keen awareness we were not aware of. Right? So they're made differently than us. Dogs, for example, when we hurt ourselves, it hurts. Do you not know that animals don't stress out the same way about pain? They don't. That's why you can see a dog hop around with a broken leg. It'll be broken the rest of his life, and the dog does not care. Deer, you can see big chunks taken out of a deer. That deer still feeds and wags its tail like nothing has happened because they're wired differently. Only human beings perceive pain the way we do. Animals do not perceive pain like us. They don't. Just as certain animals do not perceive hot and cold like we do. That's why you're able to cook frogs and crabs. The only time they become aware that they're being boiled is when something goes wrong. They can't move a claw or leg or something. Right? Then they know something has gone wrong. Other than that, they do not interpret pain the way we do. Pain to them is more of a stimuli that says you have a limitation. Something is happening to the animals. I suspect the next step is that many animals will coordinate against humanity. And they will become an enemy of humanity, those who are here. And they can discern between people. The very good discerners. And they don't forget who is who. They don't do that. I'm going to tell you guys that because on the East Coast, raccoons are going to become a big deal, right? In the Midwest, you're going to, you know, squirrels, some of the squirrels and some of the cats are going to be a big deal, right? Your animals at home are likely tolerant. To them, you're part of the pack, just like they are. And they'll probably look at you in confusion when you don't do the same thing they're doing. Plus, the Lord told us about animals. He did. He told us what they would begin to do with humanity. And he did. Lots of folks are acting on that. As we speak. Is that funny? Some of that stuff sounds funny, doesn't it? It does. But it is absolutely true. And the phenomenon is growing. It's growing. Somebody says, we are back to getting seasick feeling again. Well, I guess you would. Yes, you would. We have a change in velocity. It's going to continue to change for the next 3 months. It should peak in 3 months, then go back down. That's all. Your body is intimately tied to the processes of those objects in the heavens like the moon and the sun. Right? Ladies, your cycle is intimately tied with the sun. And the sun is about to go through a change. You guys know that, right? The sun is about to go through a change, so don't think it's strange when you start changing with it. Right, gentlemen, you will have a different problem. You're going to have a stimuli problem within your bodies. You won't understand, but the Lord knows what he's doing, and he knows what it takes to get you through. Well, you guys have that, hopefully. Hopefully, you can keep that in mind. Ladies, again, your bodies and your minds and your thoughts and everything else, you're tied to the sun, and the sun is going through a very strange period of time. And it's good that you understand that this reversal coming up on the sun is also going to affect the brain. It's going to affect your nervous system, period. It will affect your DNA. It is not something humanity is doing. No. Creators. Right? The solar cycles on the sun, when it flips magnetically, you just have to endure the changes that are going to take place in your biological systems. And gentlemen, you're going to really notice a decline. A decline in several areas of yourselves. These things will have to endure. Right? We're going to have to endure. But they are natural. They are natural. But your body is an indicator of what's actually taking place. Remember that. Remember that. Just go forward. Go forward. I say, it's good that we have those things, right? It is good. We can so easily become complacent, forget about the process and everything else. All of a sudden, we're back into the same rut of life we left. Please remember that. Because you're going to have a lot of people come out and attempt to medically explain why you're turning into a creature or something. Well, there you have that, folks. There you have that. Have that. Now, anybody else have, let me see what time it said. And somebody said, don't forget the Enoch studies. No, we're not. We're going to look into Enoch quite a bit. Enoch and several other books in our review of Revelation, because Revelation seems to be unfolding now in a big way. With these weapons that people have. All right, let's see something here. Somebody says, I don't have enough energy to turn on picture of any trouble. Zombies? No, I don't get into zombies conversations here, guys. You guys know that. The reason why is because they're zombies. The whole zombie issue, especially dealing with the government, comes from a simulation to handle something. Well, for example, people are going to have to deal with contamination. We're done with the eclipse. And did you notice that Israel started to withdraw their troops? I was going to tell you guys last night, they came to a consensus a week ago that morale was being affected big time in Israel. And so the commanders decided to concentrate forces in other areas, right, that wouldn't upset the political dynamic of the world. So I'm telling you right now that Israel made a move to satisfy the demands of the people. The people are beginning to demand of Israel to lay down their arms. You do know that, right? The people. What people, you may ask? People in Israel. People in America. People in Europe. People in France. People in other nations. all those nations that are strong enough to sustain other nations, the people of those nations are calling on a ceasefire. The people of those nations to peace. Is there none of that? Somebody says there's something sprayed over the path of the eclipse. No, it is not to my knowledge. Nothing is being sprayed over the path of the eclipse. Not to my knowledge. And there are active vehicles that were following. They were doing atmospheric tests all day. They'll be doing them all night. What they were doing was measuring. There were temperature drops up to about 30 degrees in the shadow of the sun. They were measuring cool things. Let me see, guys. Let me go back, guys. My scrolling is not too good here. Okay, on the KD Files, guys, on the KD Files. I was in the middle of posting the other day, and I simply did not finish, right? I halted everything prior to this eclipse thing. The noise got so high that I didn't want to post anything and to add to the confusion that was already out there. Listen, this is my personal posse, the way I operate and function. Normally, I wait until everybody else's declarations pass. And then I'll give my little 2 cents, whatever that's worth, right? But I always wait until all the popular things pass. I've noticed that if I say anything during one of those times where everybody is looking at everybody else's theory, then what I say will get highly distorted at a specific point. It will be very distorted. People do the weirdest things with human voices. And so what I opt to do is just stay silent until all the noise goes down, then we can discuss it. For example, now that this eclipse is over, right, now that nobody is frightened of some of the new imagery going off, for example, Cascadia Fault Zone, all those things going, Yellowstone going, these are major points of interest when it comes to celestial happenings and geological issues. I normally leave those areas alone after everybody has made their declarations. Leave them alone. But it's time to be straightforward in those areas. We are headed headlong into a time nobody wants. It is a test of all tests. And I just believe that the more we stay away from fanciful ideas, the better. Right? The better we're going to be. It's important that we all be sober for the sake of somebody else. You guys who are going into high school, right? You guys going into colleges, you're going to have to deal with technology that's going to really turn some things on its head. They're pulling out the stops. You're going to have to deal with things you never thought existed. That's going to cause people to be highly depressed because they were advocates against such. Other people are going to start speculating about the old ideas again, thinking somehow they're going to come back. But then the real issues will come, which have nothing to do with anybody's forecasts of the end times, which, you know, personally, I really can't wait for. Truth be told, I'm going to love it. All right. Okay, folks, let's see where we are. Now, as I said before, everybody, I am old. Old. That means I've gone too far the last few days. That's what that means. Right? And, I don't want to go downhill too quickly in front of everybody. That would really be funny. That all you guys have a laugh. Can't do that. Now, let me tell you guys, let me give you my personal caution. I want you guys to be looking for the bug releases, the flying insects. Can you do that? This is an immediate thing. Migration habits, formation habits, immersion, larva locations, and behaviors. Because once those flying insects are going to be forced out of the ground, right after that, the water is coming. The water is a big deal. It's coming. Flooding is going to be a big deal. It's coming. Winds will follow the rain. It's a big deal. It's going to be a big, big deal. Hold on, folks. The water event is coming. We're going to cover a lot more on that there. I want you guys to ask specifics. Specifics on that water event and the bugs. Okay? Because the bugs will be a good, they'll give a good indication of some things. Now, listen, though, you guys who listen to other folks, please, don't discard them because their sentiment idea did not come to pass. Don't discard people for that. You see someone who would say something in the name of the Lord that is absolutely wrong. If you are good friends with that person, then give that person some correction out of love. But hear me on this. Nobody has business correcting anybody unless they themselves truly love that other person. If you can't love another person, you have no business opening your mouth towards them. All you're going to do is provoke them to wrath. Oops. That's all I have for you tonight. It really is. I'll be in the Abner room later on tonight, but I can actually get back in there. I'm still locked down, right? So I built a brand new admin room. How about that one? I was doing that anyway. I'm going to go ahead and post it so all of you guys get in there so we can start processing everybody's other requests. That means, guys, listen, very soon I'm going to post your account page, your new account pages, so that you guys can utilize them more. All right? I'm going to not be slothful getting your tool sets together so that you will have something to actually help your families with. We need high coordination with and tool sets available so that you guys can, in conjunction with your family, start to perfect certain drills or contingencies given what's happening in the earth, okay? Given what's happening in the earth. And it's going to become an important thing, right? I'll also be talking about those dreams I shared with you guys. I'm going to go into depth in the KD files about those dreams just for you guys. I do ask one thing. I do ask something to do me a favor. When you go through those KD files, right, never advocate for them, but try to extract from them what you can. Please, right? And always give feedback on them. Folks, God bless each of you. Don't laugh at the raccoons if you see them walking down your streets. I'm glad that everybody is there anything anybody wants to ask me about the eclipse that you're still bothered by? Right? And we're not here to compete with what anybody else says about the celestial phenomena. Right? And two objects. Just so you guys know, if you were looking at the moon, to the upper left of the moon was Jupiter. Now I'm doing this by memory so I can be off a little bit. To the lower right was Venus. To the right of that, a little bit lower, south of that, was Saturn. It was very dim. We'll see the other one. Also, when you go out from there, there were two other planets. But in the lower, listen to me, right at the lip of the sun, there were four objects picked up. Four objects that were evidently sitting or tumbling in some sort of synchronized orbit, like synchronized swimmers would, right? And these are arsenic. I'm going to call them arsenic bombs is what they are. They're quite large. Now, they are somehow they've been captured by our solar system. And it's only a matter of time before one of the planets will, you know, kind of suck them in, right? Also, we have some other objects in our orbital plane, which we will interact with, I believe, in 1 month. 1 month and a few days, we could entertain some problems. We could. Okay? We could. I'm going to keep you guys updated on that. Help me keep you guys updated by, we're going to have discussion on relevant data. Okay, relevancy of what we're doing. I don't want to do something that you guys are totally disconnected from. Can't be helped by it. If I make a tool in the new accounts room, if there's a tool that does not help you, I need to know about it. Right? We need things in there that can actually help coordinate some things and help you guys. We need some nice tools in there. Plus, someone has a Destroyer, a.k.a. Doom Constellation. I call it an evil constellation. Right? An evil one. Which simply means we're going to see some things that have been up there for some time, but they've been obscured. Once we finally are able to see them, then that means we're very close to, very close in proximity to a place in creation that will most certainly interact with us. You guys know, I believe, we are in a binary system. You know that. The binary twin has planets in orbit around it, and those planets have moons around them. What's on those things, we don't know. But by the word of God, we can almost be sure about some things. Be sure. I mean, okay, folks, let me not ramble. Problems with what? Anyway, guys, I'm going to keep you guys updated. So do we have the questions on the front of the homepage? Right? Some of you guys had questions. You sent them by email. I'm compiling those. They will be, the answers will be on the homepage of our site. And I'll be doing that probably every 2 days. After everything is set up, I'm going to be doing that every 2 days. I went through a lot of emails. I mean, a lot of emails, right? Listen, guys, so having gone through the emails, there's a filter on there. If you send multiple emails at the exact same time, your whole list is going to be filtered out, right? It's going to be because some people do that to be nefarious, and some people do that because they're just unawares. Right, try to make your emails pretty concise and short as possible so we can get to everybody's. That simple courtesy towards everybody else. Right, if it warrants further communication, we'll certainly have it. We'll certainly have it. But make sure you keep everybody in mind and the times in mind when it comes to earthquakes. Folks, God bless each of you. I'm going to see you guys next time right here at COT. And I hope you guys get some rest. I hope that you guys with animals, you get them calm and secure. Right? And if you see raccoons or squirrels walking down the street and they're in a gang, right, don't laugh too hard. Don't start laughing. It's going to become a serious thing. It will. Right? God bless each of you. Right, no drooling. That's right. No drooling. I can't believe I'm this tired. I can't believe that. Can't believe I'm this tired. I really can't believe that. That is astounding to me, too. It is quite astounding to me. Somebody had a question about solo players. I missed the whole thing because Mixler is not very cooperative right now. They're not. I got to be careful of what I say about these guys, too, because, unfortunately, a lot of people hear me. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus because of that. I see somebody said, are the solar flares that occurred during the eclipse more significant than they are at any other time? Well, no. When we have a total solar eclipse, right, one of the major force drivers of this is the unknown, right? In our case, it is the public hype. That event was always going to be that event, but sometimes people, they embellish things too much. And that happens. So we get beyond it. With that, though, guys, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Those of you leaving. Now, if the player turns on at midnight, that means I found a new spark and I'm coming back on. All right? If not, I'll certainly see you guys tomorrow. Okay? And we're going to have a compiled study tomorrow. There is a bullet list. I'm going to go ahead and get some of that published so you guys can see that list tomorrow also. Okay. God bless each of you. Yep. Flash is laughing. I'm gone. I'm gone now because, guys, if you guys have ever been used to working a long time, you know that folks like me can sleep standing up for many hours, right? And so that means, you know, we can go to sleep in any position as though we're awake one time. I'm going to tell you this, and then I'll leave. One time, this happened at the beginning of my service career. I was so tired, right? And I went and bought these glasses with eyeballs in them. And we were having a briefing. We just came to a new post, and we were having a briefing because we had one of those, we had a safety brief, and in turn we had to give everybody else a safety brief. And it was one of the first times, you know, that I had ever given, was going to give a safety brief to real troops anyway. So I was sitting in the main direction, right? Everybody was sitting in the main direction. Speaker was out there. And evidently I dozed off. Now, these glasses had eyeballs behind them, right? They're not like the ones today are convincing. Those back then were not convincing, but it was dark because they kept showing these little movie reels. We had to watch movie reels. Anyway, all of a sudden, I kind of, you know how you peek out your eyeball, right? And kind of suck up your drool and you're looking, and it was real bright. The lights were on. I didn't move. And without uttering a word, I said, oh, my Lord, I'm in trouble. You know, oh, boy. And then I kind of looked around, right? And everybody was looking the other direction except me. Well, needless to say, I had a bad day that day. I did. I had a very bad day. Right? Bad day. I thought it was slick, right? I thought I'd get away with that. That didn't work out too well. Who does that? Anyway, that was the first time I got caught in my antics, right, because I really needed some. You know how when you're young like that, rest is everything. It is. It's everything. It's like rest is heavenly when you're young like that. And so I had to have my rest. So those glasses were like an insurance policy. And that was the first time I got chewed out in front of my peers the way I did. But I never did that again. And wouldn't you know it, when I got older, right, I was the guy up there giving a safety brief to everybody else, and I caught somebody do the exact same thing. The only thing I could do was chuckle. That was the only thing I could do was chuckle. But yeah, I'm not the only one that did that. Evidently, it's always a group of people who do that same thing. Always. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, as far as today's military is concerned, not sure of that. But and as far as how the farm is now, no. Not the way things, or silver dust, not the, they don't do that in those locations now. But, yeah, back then we had some antics. And everything was so serious back then. So serious. All right, folks, I'm out of here. I'm gone. God bless each of you. I can't wait to speak to you guys tomorrow. But, Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow talking. God bless you guys, Lord. Keep you, stay vigilant. Look after each other. Pray for one another. All right? And above all things, let's get out of the spirit of accusation into the spirit of lifting people up. And remember, this your life is a process. Right? This is your Father's process. This is not your paradise. This is a process. Remember that and be at peace. God bless you. We'll see you guys next time right here at COT. God bless.